Father in heaven, we are so thankful for the opportunity once again to share your words. And we pray that you will truly inspire us this morning, Lord. I pray that we will leave here with a determination to be transformed and changed. And that we may leave here, Lord, with healing. Please, Father, remove pride. Remove selfishness. We're told that if pride and selfishness were laid aside 5 minutes or less, we'll settle most difficulties. There's many here this morning that needs to be forgiven and also needs to forgive. So through this message this morning, Lord, transform us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I trust that we all have our Bibles, amen. I'm going to invite you to take your Bibles with me and turn to our scripture reading, which is in the book of Luke, chapter 5. Luke, chapter 5. Now, the Lord has blessed me to travel to various places, and one of the things that my wife and I often do is counsel with many, many people. And I'm not oblivious to the fact that there are many who come to church and we put on our well-dressed suits and dresses and we eat our nice, healthy potluck and we fellowship one to another. We pay our tithe and we pay our offering faithfully. But deep inside, we're filled with pain, hurt, and suffering. There's many who we've spoken to that has been abused as a child and have faced all kind of adverse childhood behaviors, and still they come to church and put on this mask, this smile, but deep inside there's pain and there's hurting. And I want to share with you this morning, my friends, that the presence of Christ is present to heal. So now, Bible's in the book of Luke chapter 5 and verse 17. The Bible says, "And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them." Now, I want you to notice that there are a lot of men with prestigious powers and positions. And the Bible said that they came from various places while Christ was teaching, doctors of the law and many others. And the Bible says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now I have a question. How much of them left there with the healing in which the power was there to heal? Not one. So while these men of power and prestige, these men who are doctors of the law, these men were well-studied theologians and so on and so forth, they came and the power of Christ was present to heal them, but yet not one of them left there healed that day. Now, oftentimes we allow pride. Oftentimes we allow selfishness. We allow all these various external things to get in the way of a simply and humble way of receiving forgiveness and receiving healing. But even though Christ present was there and they could have received healing, not one of them left there healed. And let me challenge us this morning. God's presence and power is still here to heal us. And we dare not, my brothers and sisters, leave here this morning and not take the steps towards healing. Amen? Now, we're told in the book Christ Object Lessons, we must know our real condition or we shall not feel our need of Christ's help. We must understand our danger or we shall not flee to the refuge. Now listen. We must feel the pain of our wounds, or we should not desire healing. Is there anyone here in pain this morning? Are we in pain? of a broken home? Are we in pain of a child that's wayward? Are we in pain of our own failures? Are we in pain of that abuse or the misuse that we had as a child? Are we in pain of a separated relationship between mom or dad? Are we in pain this morning? And we're told that we must understand the pain of our wounds, or we should not desire healing. Sometimes God allowed pain and affliction to come in our life. In fact, David said in Psalm 119, "It was good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Yes. If you're in pain this morning, it's an opportunity for us to run to the gentle healer. One of the things that I know as Christians, as God's people, is that sometimes we love to prescribe remedies that we don't partake. And sometimes we know that the remedies are bitter. And the bitter herbs, my brothers and sisters, brings about healing. So if we're having some bitter experiences in our lives right now, I want to rest assured that in these bitter experiences, God is trying to bring about healing. And the power of His presence is here to heal us this morning. But we must acknowledge it. We must partake of the remedy that God has for us. You know, you can die of dehydration in a pool of water. It's not enough for us to be in the water. The water must get inside of us. So God has a remedy for our sin-sick souls this morning, but let's allow the remedy to get inside of us, which means oftentimes we must lay aside pride and selfishness. Now, in verse 18, the Bible says, "And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy." You can see that man being lowered through the roof with palsy. And then it goes on to say, "And they sought means to bring him in, to lay him before him." So in other words, they recognize now this man is sick. This man is paralyzed. And that's what the word palsy means. He was paralyzed and he wanted to be healed from Christ. And they recognize now that they could not get to Christ. So they had to press their way. Now, what do you notice what the Bible says now in verse 19? The Bible says, "And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus." Now, I want you to notice that he was blocked by the crowd. In other words, he knew where Christ was and he saw Christ and he knew where to go to get healing, but there are people that were getting in his way. And there's many of us that allow people to get in the way of healing. We allow the crowd of our mother, the crowd of our brother, the crowd of a husband, the crowd of a wife, the crowd of a boyfriend, the crowd of a girlfriend. We allow people to get in the way and block us from Christ. He knew where he was and he saw him, but he was blocked by people and circumstances. Don't allow the crowd of circumstances to block us from Christ. Maybe the crowd of worldly entertainment is blocking us from Christ. Maybe the crowd of pride is blocking us from Christ. Maybe the crowd, my brothers and sisters, of situations and circumstances in our lives are blocking us from Christ. Let us press through the crowd. The multitude blocked him from Christ. Now, in verse 20, the Bible says, "And when he saw their faith," I want you to notice again, when he, Christ, saw their faith, "he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." You know, sometimes in our lives, we are going through these circumstances in our life where our faith just goes dim. And God uses our friends and our brothers and sisters to lift up us up to Him through by faith and lower us to Christ so that we can receive the healing that God desires to give us. And God answers those prayers, my brothers and sisters. Those prayers of faith that we lift up to God for our brothers and sisters, God hears those prayers. I remember I was working with the church that called my wife and I to to lay leadership. It was a church that was just starting up, and when I got to the church, it was an absolute disaster. There's this young man there, in fact, quite a few of them that were 1 foot into the church and 1 foot out. The only reason why they're coming is only because their parents says, if you're not coming to church, you can no longer stay in my house. And these young men were smoking weed, partying and clubbing, doing all kind of worldly filth. And the only reason they came to church is because their parents says, you cannot live in my house if you're not attending church. And that mother prayed and prayed and prayed for her son. She said one day he came in with bloodshot red eyes, and she saw that he was high from marijuana. He was completely out of his mind. And as he went to bed, not even recognizing what was going on, she says, I went down and laid and pressed my hand on my son's head. I put on his head. He didn't even know what was taking place. He was so out of this world. And she prayed and says, Lord, save my boy. Save my boy. And a few weeks later, God sent my wife and I to that church. And we started a youth ministry. I simply bought bikes from Goodwill and other thrift stores and began to fix up the bikes. And we just started bike riding. Invited them to our house. And then from just simply inviting them to our house and eating breakfast, then we began to have worship with them. And then they began to open up and share with us their problems. And next thing you know, my brother and sister, through the ministry that God has given us, we saw these young men begin to clean up themselves and become canvases for God. Went to our schools, Wachita Hills, and began to go all around the world spreading the good news of the three angels' messages through literature. What am I saying? That mother's prayer for her son, even though he did not have the faith, she had the faith, that prayer did not go unanswered. So the Bible says, and when he saw their faith, he said unto the man that was sick of the palsy, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Now, I want you to notice something here. This man is paralyzed. This man is sick. This man is diseased. And he came to Christ for healing. And before Christ touched him, before Christ spoke specifically about any healing, I want you to notice the connection. The first thing that he said is, thy sins be forgiven thee. Which begs the question, what does forgiveness, we're talking about the healing power of forgiveness, what does forgiveness have to do with a paralyzed condition? Is that a good question? He had a physical malady. But yet the first thing that Christ said to this man is, thy sins be forgiven thee. We're seeing then that there was a connection, watch this, there was a connection between forgiveness and what? And healing. That's why our subject is the healing power of forgiveness. There is a connection. And I wonder, could it be that there's someone here today, or someone listening online, or someone that will listen sometime later on in life, and they're sick with a malady, and they are confused because they know, I drink my 64 ounces of water per day or more. I walk miles per day. I'm on a complete plant-based diet. I do all these things, and yet I am sick with this malady that I cannot figure out. Maybe you need to forgive. Or maybe you need to be forgiven. And I want us to know that the power of Christ's presence is here to heal. But let's not, like those doctors of the law, leave with pride, my friends, and not receive the healing that God has to offer. Let's continue. Verse 21, the Bible says, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, what reasoning in your hearts? Whether it is easy to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk. Let me ask you that question, my friends. Which one is easier for God? To say your sins are forgiven, or to say rise and take up your bed and walk? Which one? With God, all things are possible. Amen? Now, verse 24, the Bible says, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed into his own house, glorifying God. Praise God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Strange things today. Question. What came first? The forgiveness or the healing? Forgiveness. There might be someone here today, I repeat it, there might be someone here today, my friends, that needs to forgive and also that needs to be forgiven. Now, let's look at the connection. We know the text. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Watch the connection. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. Let's notice what the Bible says, and we're going to move quickly. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. When you're there with me, say amen. 2 Chronicles 7, 14. The Bible says, if my people, notice, condition now, if my people, it, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will do what? Saints, talk to me. Forgive their sin and will heal their land. Which one comes first? Forgiveness. You guys see that? Psalm 103. And by the way, that word heal comes from the Greek, the Hebrew word rapha, which means to make whole. Now let's go to Psalm 103, the 103rd division of the psalm. And let's notice it's the same thing, the 103rd division of the psalm. And let's notice what the Bible says in verse 3. The Bible says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and watch the connection now, who healeth all thy diseases. Which one comes first? Forgiveness. Do we see the pattern, my friends? That also comes from the Hebrew word rapha, which means to make whole. In God's plan of healing, God deals with holistic healing. In fact, notice what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. It says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That word soul comes from the Greek word psyche, which means seat of feelings, desires, and affections. In other words, God says, I want you to be whole. Holistically means mental, physical, and what else? Spiritual. Spirit, soul, and body. God says, I want you to be made whole. So when it comes to healing, God deals with the mental, he also deals with the spiritual, and he also deals with the physical. Let's begin to look at the mental. Notice what it says here. It says in the book, volume 5 of the Testimonies, page 444. Listen. Sickness of the mind prevails everywhere. Now listen to the numbers. 90% of the diseases from which men suffer have their foundation here. What is here? In the mind. 90% of diseases are as a result of what happens in the mind. Notice what it says here. It says those who are reduced by disease are sufferers in more than one sense. Listen, they can endure bodily pain far better than they can bear mental suffering. Many carry a violated conscience and can be reached only by the principles of Bible religion. You know, I had a friend, I grew up in Far Rockaway, Queens, and there was a guy that everybody knew was a thug. He was a gangster. And in fact, everybody knew that he was actually a murderer. And everybody stayed away from him. Everybody feared him. He was a gang leader. And finally, the law caught up with him, and you know, he's a big, the big guy, very muscular, a weightlifter, about 6'4". He was known for knocking people out and literally shooting people. So eventually, law caught up with him, and he went to prison. And when he came out of prison, he found out. Now, mind you, this is a rough and tough guy, physical frame. Everybody knows you do not mess with this guy. So after he comes out of prison, he found out that his girlfriend was now seeing another guy. Now, mind you, physically, he's indomitable in everyone's eyes. But when he found out mentally that his girlfriend was now seeing another guy, you know what he did? He took a gun, went to his girlfriend's house, shot and killed her, turned a gun to his head, and shot himself. And they're both dead. He could endure bodily pain more than he can deal with mental anguish. God is saying to us this morning, I want to make you whole. The relation that exists between the mind and the body is very intimate. When one is affected, the other sympathizes. The condition of the mind affects the health to a far greater degree than many realize. Now watch. It says, many of the diseases from which men suffer are as the result of mental depression. What else? Talk to me. What else? Grief. What else? Anxiety. What else? Discontent. What else? Remorse. What else? Guilt. What else? Distrust. And what happens to the body physically now? All tend to break down the life forces and to invite decay and also death by these mental dispositions. Now, by the way, scientifically, this was not proven until 1930. Ellen White died in 1915. We praise God we had a prophet that was always ahead. Amen? So now turn your Bible to the book of Daniel chapter 8. Let's look at another connection. Daniel chapter 8. And notice what the Bible says in verse 7. Daniel chapter 8 and verse 7. Again, we're talking about the healing power of forgiveness. In Daniel chapter 8 verse 7, the Bible says, "And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him, and smote the ram, and brake the two horns, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he was cast him down unto the ground, and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand." Now, I want you, did you notice that there was a strange word in this verse? What word was that? Choler. When you look up the Greek word for choler, that word means bitterness. So there was this bitterness that the ram was moving with. Now, when you go further now and look up the root word, that root word from choler also links to the bile, which flows into the liver. So bitterness, bile, liver. You guys catch that connection? Now, we see this principle in the Bible, and now we're seeing scientifically now that there are physiological effects that are actually that are affected by our mental dispositions. Let me share a few. Heart and small intestines. They say negative emotions now, this is scientifically proven, such as hate, such as cruelty, such as impatience, have physical symptoms such as heart palpitations, high blood pressure, and chest pain. They're saying the kidneys, ears, and bladder, when you have negative emotions such as fear, leads to physical symptoms such as loss of sexual energy, loss of life force, nervous system disorder, and also the body becomes acidic, which now predisposes it to cancer and very other diseases, and there's a knot in the abdomen. The spleen, the stomach, and the pancreas, negative emotions such as worry, such as anxiety, such as mistrust, lead to physical symptoms such as impaired digestion, impaired waste elimination, etc., etc. And then the lungs and skin and large intestine, negative emotions such as sadness, such as depression, leads to physical symptoms such as breathing problems and also decreased oxygen in the blood. And now, and also constipation. Now, we come to the liver, eyes, and gallbladder. Remember that word choler, which leads to bitterness, which also links back to the bile. Notice what they're saying now. This is science. And we saw it right in the Bible. It says anger, frustration, jealousy, envy, and also bitterness lead to physical symptoms such as production of more cholesterol, imbalanced bile production, impaired digestion, and also the blood stagnates in the liver, reducing its ability to detoxify the body. Now, we also have a real-life example. One of my mentors, he was running a health session, and when he was running a health session, there's this lady that came for healing, and she had a liver problem. What kind of problem? Liver problem. And they did what was called a liver cleanse, a liver detox, and then they'll see results, and then a day or two later, she'll go back to the same condition. They do the cleanse again, and then she'll go back to the same condition. And then he finally sat down with her and said, look, we're doing everything that we know should work. I must ask you a deeper question. When we had our counseling session, is there something that you failed to tell me in our counseling session? Because we know that the mental affects the physical. And she said, I did fail to tell you something. She said, my husband left me about 20 years ago, and I have never forgiven him. He spoke to her and said, if you're going to have your liver heal. Now notice, bitterness, anger, jealousy, unforgiveness leads to liver problems. He said, we need to get in touch with your husband and make reconciliation. Not necessarily come back together because they had moved on, but ensure that forgiveness had taken place. And he got her through the process, and she was able to call her husband. She was able to forgive her husband. He was also able to forgive her. And guess what? The same remedies that were kept falling back, guess what? They worked, and this lady is now in a healthy condition. The mental, my friends, affects the physical. Now, bitterness. We're told bitterness is like drinking poison and expecting someone else to die. It's like drinking poison and expecting someone else to die. Let's go in our Bibles to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's notice what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4. And notice what it says in verse 31 and 32. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Ephesians 4, 31. The Bible says, let all, what's the next word, saints, talk to me? Bitterness and what else? And wrath and what else? And anger and clamor and evil speaking. What does God say to do with it? Put it away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another. Tenderhearted. What is the next word, my friends? Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath what? Forgiven you. God is challenging us this morning that if there's bitterness, if there's anger, if there's unforgiveness in our lives, he says, put it away from you. And the same way that God has forgiven you, he says, also forgive one another. He's challenging us this morning. Now, how does God forgive? Notice what it says in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34. I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. God says, I forgot about it altogether. And he offers us to extend that same courtesy to one another. Now, how can we get this kind of experience? Notice what it says here. When we come to ask mercy and blessings from God, we should have a spirit of love and forgiveness in our own hearts. How can we pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and yet indulge an unforgiving spirit? If we expect our own prayers, my friends, to be heard, we must forgive others. Listen. In the same manner and to the same extent as we hope to be forgiven. If we have not forgiven horizontally, God said there's no forgiveness vertically. So before God forgives us vertically, he said there must be an horizontal forgiven. In fact, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 and 22, it says, if you go to the altar and find that thy brother have aught against thee, he says, leave there thy gift in the altar and then go and make reconciliation and then come and present your gifts at the altar. God says you cannot have a bypass prayer knowing that there are horizontal issues and yet you try to do a bypass prayer and go vertical. God says, no, that prayer does not leave the top of your heads. Am I making sense this morning? We are not forgiven because we forgive, but as we forgive. The ground of all forgiveness is found in the unmerited love of God. So God is saying, if for some reason we are not forgiving, that is a demonstration of the fact that His love has not found place in our hearts. But by our attitude towards others, we show whether we have made that love our own. Now, as you look at David's experience, David was a murderer and adulteress. We know that. You know what God said about David? God said to Rehoboam about David, He says, "You have not kept all my commandments like my servant David." Now, God didn't stop there. He was speaking to Jeroboam, the new king. He says, "You have not kept all my commandments like my servant David." And we know that David was a murderer. We know that David was a liar. We know that David was an adulterer. But yet God says, "You have not kept all my commandments like my servant David." But the text did not stop there, my friends. Listen to the next words that God says. He says to only do that which is right in my sight. God says, David has only did that which is right in my sight. Yet he's a murderer, yet he's an adulterer, yet he is a liar. And God says, David kept all my commandments and only has done that which is right in my sight. You know what that means? That means God had forgiven David and forgot all the things that David had done wrong. And God says, I want you now to extend that same forgiveness horizontally the same way I extend my forgiveness vertically. Now, did David have a part in this? Yes. David now, when he was confronted by Nathan the prophet, you know what Nathan said? He gave him that full analogy, and David came now to acknowledge his faults, and David says, Lord, I beg and I plead for your forgiveness, and he showed true sorrow for sin. He was very specific in his request for forgiveness. And what did God do? God says, you are forgiven. You are forgiven. But let me add this. Forgiveness does not mean an absence of consequences. David still lost a son. As much as he wept and mourned and prayed and pled, God says, no, because of your acts, though you are forgiven, that does not mean that there are not consequences for the decisions that you have made. But consequences does not mean that we're not forgiven. And then David prayed that most powerful prayer. Let's go there to the book of Psalm 51. The most powerful prayer. And watch David's specific prayer, Psalm 51. A very familiar text to us. Psalm 51, verse 1. Watch David now. He says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Verse 4, he said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Verse 10, David now is still crying out and pleading to God and says, Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold with me thy free spirit. David was truly sorry for his sin. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. David was forgiven, my friends. I want you to notice a few things when it comes to forgiveness. State clearly what you did wrong. In other words, it's not, you know, forgive me for the things that I've done in the past. No, you are very specific. Please forgive me for speaking in an unchrist-like tone. Please forgive me for gossiping and backbiting. Please forgive me in the very specific things that I have done. And that's what it says in Leviticus chapter 5, verse 5. We must confess that we have sinned in that thing. Request their forgiveness. Will you please forgive me? Use simple factual terms. Don't destroy good words with the wrong attitudes. So we could say the words angrily. We could say the word dismissively. And even though we use the words, it's not flowing from the heart of true repentance and a desire for true forgiveness and reconciliation. Amen. Don't confess accusingly. Be willing to accept the consequences. Again, David still had consequences. But when David was put in the same position, he was now sick and about to die in 1 Kings chapter 1. And the Bible said that there was a fair damsel, and then the Bible says there was a very fair damsel, and the king got no heat, and the damsel wanted to lay with the king. But the Bible says, and the king knew her not. When put in the same position, David did something differently. Why? He had truly repented of his sins. He was truly sorrow for his sins. And that word repent, by the way, means to turn around. David went in a different direction. And most of us, you know what our repentance is? We're going this way and we said, Lord, I repent. And guess what? You're going in the same direction. Repent means, that word literally means to turn around. So I'm going in this direction. And when you repent now, you're going in the complete opposite direction. David truly repented. Be willing to accept the consequences. Be willing to turn away from the wrong act. David now turned away from the wrong act. And have true sorrow for sin. Godly sorrow, as it says in 1 Corinthians. So what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is not excusing what a person did. Forgiveness is not approving what that person did. Forgiveness does not always mean reconciliation. There's sometimes you repent if someone raped someone or somebody abused someone in the past. You don't try to reconcile. You don't have to be best friends with that person. But you can find it in your heart to say, you know what? I forgive you. I'm releasing the real estate that you've been occupying my mind, and now I want to move forward in newness of life. It does not necessarily mean reconciliation. Forgiveness is you releasing your right to hurt that other person the way they hurt you. In our minds, we assume the right to hurt others who have hurt us. We are voluntarily relinquishing that right. I truly forgive you. And there are examples in the Bible. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's notice what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And notice what it says in verse 4 through 7. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 7. The Bible says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and what else? And endureth all things. When we truly love our neighbors as ourselves, we're willing to endure and release, my brother and sisters, the real estate that they have been occupying in our mind. Now, let's go to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. And notice what the Bible says now in verse 34. Luke 23, verse 34. The Bible says, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you saw Stephen do the same thing in Acts chapter 7. He says, lay not this charge against them. So this is godly forgiveness. Now, we must ask ourselves some internal questions in light of forgiveness. Am I a forgiving person? Number one, do I have a forgiving spirit? Number two, and there's another layer of forgiveness, my friends. If we find that somebody has a problem with us, even though we don't even think that we have a problem with them, just the fact that we know that they have a problem with us, it is our God-given right as Christians to go to them and try to right those wrongs. The greatest wrong we can do to others is to be unforgiving if we think they injure us in any way. Now, what are the three conditions for forgiveness? Luke chapter 17. I want you to notice this is very, very important in Luke chapter 17. What are the three conditions for forgiveness? Luke 17, verse 3. Luke 17 and verse 3. The Bible says, Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, do what? Forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt do what? Forgive him. Verse 5, and the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And when we think about these realities, my friends, we have to say, Lord, do I have that kind of spirit in my heart? And if I don't, Lord, increase my faith. And Matthew chapter 18 outlines the principles of forgiveness. Now, steps. Number one, do not have a pity party, blow up, gossip, public prayers, requests. This create what? More problems. In other words, don't go to church and say, you know, I need you to pray for Brother Blank. Brother Blank, you know, he's going around doing these things. He's been lying and he's been stealing and he's been doing all these things. He's spreading rumors. He's gossiping. But, you know, please, please pray for him. That's gossiping using the words prayer. Are you with me, my friends? So do not have a pity party. Blow up with gossip, public prayer requests. This creates more problems. Go straight to that person, directly to that person. And if true, rebuke, and as much as possible, reconcile. Other scriptures consider, you want to write these down. Matthew 18, verse 22 to 35, talks about the principles of forgiveness. Luke chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. And Ephesians chapter 4, and verse 32. Now, forgiveness is not the absence of rebuke. In fact, in Luke 17, verse 3, the Bible says, take heed to yourself, if thy brother trespass against thee, what's the next 2 words? Rebuke him. And if you repent, forgive him. And Galatians chapter 6 talks about how our objective is to make reconciliation with our brother and also to restore him. So forgiveness, it is a decision. Forgiveness, it's a choice. It is a declaration not to bring the offense up. 2, that person, to use it against them, anyone else, to gossip about it, to ourselves, ruminating in our minds. What is forgiveness, my friends? Forgiveness is a promise to not remember. There's a difference between also forgetting and not remembering. Forgiving is passive. Remembering, not remembering, is active. It's something that we have to say in our minds, I'm going to be conscious, I'm going to be active to ensure that I'm forgiving of my brethren. It is a choice to not hold the offense against someone. The Bible says in Hebrews 8, for I will be merciful to their iniquities and will remember their sins no more. Now, as we begin to close, you can't use self and lose self. So forgiveness is a declaration. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's saying something. And also allowing the feelings to come later. So sometimes we have to say, you know what? This is not what I feel, but I know that it is right. I'm going to go to my brother and I'm going to make reconciliation. In fact, early writing 72 says, faith is ours to exercise. Joyful feelings is God's to give. Feeling is not a prerequisite. Forgiveness is needed because someone was hurt. Feeling is not faith, early writing 72. The two are distinct. Faith is ours to exercise, but joyful feelings and the blessings are God's to give. The grace of God comes to those soul through the channel of living faith, and that faith, it is our power to exercise. I'm going to share 2 stories in closing, so if our media crew could ensure that our sound is ready. And Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 21 says, for the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. Now, many of you might have heard of this many years ago. There was an Amish tragedy. In 2006, Charles Roberts walked into an Amish school and shot 5 Amish girls in cold blood. Then he shot and killed himself. The amazing part of the story is how the Amish community handled the situation. They showed compassion that flowed faster than and more freely than the blood. A few hours after the shooting, Amish visited Roberts' family to comfort them. The Amish community began to visit the family, widow, and parents-in-law. One Amish man spent an hour with Roberts' father sobbing in his arms. And over 30 Amish showed up at the killer's funeral. And they said, there is not anyone here that does not want anything but to do what? To forgive. And we must ask ourselves the question, are we truly forgiven in our hearts? Are we willing to have this kind of godly forgiveness, my brothers and sisters? And if someone could be murdered at cold blood, and yet the Amish community say, you know what? I'm going to visit his wife. I'm going to visit his parents. And sobbed in his father's arms, the two crying together, and then showed up at the killer's funeral and says, we all are letting you know that we extend our forgiveness to you. We must ask ourselves the question, why can't God's people in his church, in these remnant church in these last days, extend forgiveness one to another? And I want to close out with this video, and then I'll share another short statement. So if our audio is ready, we're going to play the video now. Okay, this is very, very important. If we could find some way to get this working. Was accidentally killed by a cop. She went into the wrong apartment and didn't recognize that she went into the wrong place. She was a cop. She opened her gun, fired, and accidentally killed his brother. And the entire parents, family, and everyone was grieving. And they wanted the worst for the cop. Now, this is the brother who's a Christian. I want you to notice his response to the situation. So I'm going to start it over now, just to give a little bit of backstory.
I can speak for myself. I forgive you, and I know if you go to God and ask him, he will forgive you. And I don't think anyone could say, again, I'm speaking for myself, not even God, for my family, but I love you just like anyone else. And I'm not going to say I hope you rot and die just like my brother did, but I personally want the best for you. And I wasn't going to ever say this in front of my family or anyone, but I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you. Because I know that's exactly what both of them want you to do. And the best would be give your life to Christ. I'm not going to say anything else. I think giving your life to Christ would be the best thing that both of them want you to do. Again, I love you as a person.
Closing, it says, he that cannot forgive others breaks the bridge over which he himself must pass if he would ever reach heaven, for everyone has need to be forgiven. Before I close this morning, I want to make an appeal to God's church in these last days. We can allow the world to be forgiven when they lost a loved one through unexpected death. And we have internal issues within our families, internal issues within our church, internal issues within our jobs, the internal issues within our schools, and yet carry unforgiveness and bitterness in our lives. So before we pray this morning, if there's someone here this morning that says, God spoke to me this morning, and I'm asking for a special prayer this morning, I'm going to come down. I'm going to ask you to respond. We want to have a special prayer this morning. If God spoke to you, just come forward. And we want to pray for you this morning. I wouldn't worry about who's thinking what. It's you and God. God spoke to you. And you're saying, I want to respond to what God has spoken to me this morning. Praise God. Praise God. We want to pray with you this morning. Come forward. And don't let the crowd block you. That man was so determined that he got to Jesus that day. He was not blocked by people. He made it to Christ that day. So don't let the crowd of what people are thinking. Don't let the crowd of circumstances that surround us. Don't let the crowd of the past, the crowd of anything, block us from Jesus, my friends. Pray through the crowd. Come to Christ this morning. He wants to forgive you. He wants to give you the spirit of forgiveness. And he also want to put in the hearts of others to forgive us also if we have been hurt. Is there another? Come forward. Don't let the crowd block us this morning. God has spoken to you. And he says, if you come to me, I will in no wise cast you out. Anyone else? God spoke to you this morning. You want his healing power of forgiveness this morning. The power of Christ is present to heal us this morning, my friends. And we don't want to leave here like the scribes and Pharisees because of pride and lack of humility. We leave here without the healing that God desires. Is there another this morning? Anyone else? Anyone else this morning? We're told that in every congregation, there are souls that are hesitating. And you could rest assured the hesitation that you're feeling in your heart, that tug is not coming from Christ. The hesitation is coming from the devil himself. So pray through that crowd of hesitation. Praise God, my sister. Is there another one this morning? Pray through the crowd. Is there another? Father in heaven, we're so thankful, Lord, that you spoke to us this morning in simplicity. That man was a paralytic. He was paralyzed. But the remedy that you prescribed to him first and foremost was that he needed the assurance of your forgiveness. So if there's any here, Lord, that's fallen into sin and they just feel like God cannot forgive them, I want them to first and foremost have the assurance this morning that you are more than willing to forgive them, Lord. And like David, you remember the sins no more. And if we're truly willing to repent, you can declare to us like David, we have kept all your commandments to only do that which is right in your sight. So first, Lord, we want the assurance of God's forgiveness. But in addition, Lord, we also need to take some practical steps that there might be some horizontal forgiveness that needs to take place. We recognize that we might need to approach one another. We recognize that we might need to humble ourselves, Lord, as it says in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. And that you will forgive our sins and heal our land, the land of Stone Tower, Seventh-day Adventist Church. You want to heal us, Lord. So as you give us these humble hearts, Lord, I pray that you help us to approach one another, whether it's here, approach one another, whether it's family, approach one another, whether it's a job, approach one another, whether it's a school, whatever environment there is, that forgiveness and healing needs to take place, Lord. We know that your presence is here, and we're thankful for the healing that you'll give us in advance. And Father, we're grateful for those this morning who decided to press through the crowd of circumstances, the crowd of pride, to say, I'm responding to what Jesus has said to me this morning. And because they have made a move, Lord, you said you'll also make a move towards them. So I pray that you bring the healing, the restoration, the reconciliation, the the humility, Lord, to approach, to have these difficult conversations that needs to be had, Lord, so that healing can truly take place. But as been aforementioned, Lord, give them the assurance, Lord, of the healing that comes from God when we take these steps towards repentance. And bless us to this end, Father, and we commit and submit ourselves to you this morning. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.